Tonight I want to share on standing for God. And we're going to look at a couple records here in Daniel about that. How they stood for God in some pretty incredible circumstances. And then what God did for them to bless them back for their stand. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So Nebuchadnezzar comes in, besieges Jerusalem, and takes it. And he takes God's people into captivity, the Babylonian captivity. And part of what he did was he took all of the youth who were descendants of either royalty or high-ranking officials or well-educated, right? He took all of that group of youth for his own. And in doing so, it kind of weakens the conquered people, right? It takes like the best and the brightest of the conquered people. And then in training them up in your ways and your education strengthens your kingdom. So that was kind of the plan here. So that Nebuchadnezzar would profit from the intelligence and the capability of the best and brightest, if you will. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So they were on this 3-year program. They were going to eat the king's, they were going to live like kings. They were going to eat of the king's food, drink of his wine, get educated. And after 3 years, they would be able to, report to him and stand before him. To help him out. So that's kind of what they were being trained up to do. But the king's meat was also used for offerings to idols, unto their own gods. Right? So that's something that we have to keep in mind here. Verse 6. Now among these, the children, were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So these four individuals are specifically mentioned as out of the lot that they had kind of captured and took for their own. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. And this is interesting because they all had godly, biblical names, right? Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means God has been gracious. Mishael means who is what God is. And Azariah means God has helped. And they changed their names to names that reflected their own gods. Belteshazzar means Bel protects his life. Shadrach means a command of Aku, who was one of their gods. Meshach, how's that Ak in it, is who is what Aku is. So instead of who is what God is, it was who is what Aku is. And Abednego is a servant of Nabu. So they changed their names from the godly names to their own gods. In verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, which means he made up his mind, he made a commitment, he made a decision, right? He was ready to stand on whatever he made up his mind. He was full of conviction. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, right? So he made up his mind that he was not going to do that. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself, right? So there was something about this portion that the king was offering that would be defiling unto Daniel, right? It could be because maybe it was unclean food, right? Jewish law had them only allowed to eat certain things, and perhaps this wasn't of those things. It was typically offered to idols, and maybe that was part of what was defiling, or simply because in eating together in Eastern custom, it was like making a covenant with somebody, right? It was kind of forming an agreement or a commitment to them, and perhaps that's what Daniel found to be defiling. But whatever it is, the word says that in partaking of it, it would defile Daniel. And so he purposed in his heart to not do that, right? He put up with his name being changed, but this was going to cause him to not do God's word in some way or another. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love, which means mercy or compassion, with the prince of the eunuchs. So God worked in the situation to bring Daniel into favor and mercy with the prince of the eunuchs. So Daniel took a stand. He made up his mind. He was convicted in his heart that he wasn't going to do it. And God worked in the situation to bring him into favor, right? So we take a stand and God works. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. You know, if I don't give you this food and you guys turn out worse than all of your other compadres, then it's going to be my head. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. Let's put it to a test. I beseech thee 10 days. Give me a 10-day trial. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And pulse is like vegetables, so herbs and vegetables. So this isn't a pro-vegetarian portion of the Bible, right? It's just that's what they knew was going to be okay. It was going to be clean. It wasn't going to be offered up to anything. Give us vegetables, give us water, and let's see how we do. Now, if that's all they were having, they should not have been better and more healthier by the sense of nutrition, right? That's not what they were used to just eating. But God takes care of them. Verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, you know, whatever it looks like, deal with thy servants. So whatever the results appear to be, that's what we'll continue with. So he consented unto them in this matter and proved them, put them to the test for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, healthier than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. All right? So God was the one who purposed in, you know, the prince's heart to favor them, and God took care of them on this new diet so that they were healthier, that they looked better than everybody else. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Right? So now they were free to continue to live according to God's word. Right? And God worked it out so that they could do that. And as for these four children, there was a bunch of children taken from the land of Judah. But these four took a stand, and God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God blessed them. God took care of them. He gave them the knowledge and the skill. It was from God. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And that's just kind of a summary of events to come at the end of the chapter. But they were found in great favor before the king. 10 times better than everybody else. 10 times better than the guys who were already there. The magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans who were already in service to the king. And Daniel continued in that position through multiple kings. If you keep reading. Chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. It really freaked me out. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, which is another word for Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Yeah, just tell us what you dreamed. We'll tell you all about it. You know, we've done this before. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. I don't remember the dream. If you will not make it known unto me the dream, with including the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Well, if you're so smart, you tell me what I dreamed, and tell me what it meant. Because I forget. Right? So this is a very tall order. It's one thing to offer up an interpretation of a dream. It's another to figure out what the man dreamed in the first place when he won't tell you. Right? And the record goes on to say that the king decides they have always been liars since they're not able to tell him what they could do it. And they say, well, nobody can do this thing. Nobody can do what you're asking us. So we'll go to verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. All right, well, if nobody can do it, then you're all worthless to me. And he said he was going to destroy them all. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain, because they were included in that group. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He's like, wait a second, why are you here to kill us? So he didn't know what happened. And Arioch said, well, this is what happened. He dreamed a dream, and nobody could tell him the dream, and so now you're all going to die. That's not a very good situation. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Hey, just give me a little bit of time and I'll tell you. Then Daniel went in, verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So he goes back to his home and he tells his boys, hey, we better get to praying here, else we all gonna die. Because the king's ready to kill us all. Right? Let's start asking God, what's the deal? He'll show us. Right? So Daniel puts his trust in God. He and his buddies pray to God to find out what it is that the king dreamed so that he would save their lives. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He was quite thankful, so his prayer was answered. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Are you able to tell me what I dreamed and what it means? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So David does not take credit. He doesn't show up and say, hey, I can tell you. Don't worry, I got you. He gives God the glory. He said, there's nobody who's going to be able to tell you this, but God can. And God showed me, and here it is, right? God got the glory. It was God who was the source of his strength and his deliverance and his wisdom. He took a stand for God. You can go to verse 46. He reveals the dream and the interpretation, shows him what it all means. And God knew in his foreknowledge that Nebuchadnezzar would believe him, what Daniel was saying. So verse 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So because of this, because he took a stand, because he reached out to God and he trusted in God, God gave him what he needed to know. And Daniel was rewarded, right? Him and his friends are promoted to high-ranking officials at a very young age, all because they took a stand and trusted in God. Right? These guys were taken from captivity. It refers to them as children, and children that still needed to be educated. So it doesn't specifically say, but some scholars believe that these guys were like 17, 18 years old, right? They were young, young guys when they were taken. And they took a stand for God, and God does all this cool stuff for them. And in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. So this is sometime after the events of chapter 2. He made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. All right, so it's 90 feet tall and really wide, and set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then when all of these guys were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they're given this decree. Worship this idol that I've set up, or into the fire you go. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near. These Chaldeans, they're always causing trouble. And accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. Verse 11. And whoso falls not down and worships, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those guys. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Right? So verse 12 says, they serve not thy what? Gods. They serve not thy gods. Right? So even though they were these high-ranking officials, and they were in prominent positions of power, and lots of people looked at them, and saw them every day, and had expectation of them, they had a choice to make, whether it was to conform to what that society did, right, in worshiping these other gods, or to take a stand and believe what they believed and worship the one true God. And they made a decision. They made a decision to worship the one true God. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not serve ye my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear all this music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, that will be well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Right? So now he was mad. And he's like, you don't want to worship my gods? You want to worship yours? Is your God going to save you when I throw you in the fire? He was threatening them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, that doesn't sound very fun. We'll go ahead and do it. We'll worship.
No.
That's not how they answered. They said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Right? And the word careful is the word worried or anxious, like it is in other places in the Bible. We are not concerned or worried or anxious to answer you this way. Meaning, we're going to tell you like it is. All right? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Right? So they say, you know, we're not afraid to answer you the truth. And the truth is, we believe God will take care of us. But even if he doesn't, we ain't doing it. And that's a big thing to say to the guy who's about to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. Right? That's taking a stand. They stood firm. They were ready to die for God before compromising on what they believed. Right? That was the situation. Then Nebuchadnezzar, or verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was like raven mad. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was known to be heated. You know, really fire that bad boy up. He was angry. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats. They just took them as they were in other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Even their hats. They just threw them in. It's funny, right? Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew or killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this thing was so hot at this point that it killed the guys who were throwing them into the furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of it. So it killed the guys who were just outside of it, and they got tossed into it. So they're toast. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, that's true. True, O king. That's what we remember. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men, loose, not bound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God, or like an angel. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and they just walked out. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no what? Power. Where was the power? The power was with God, right? This fire had no power. Nebuchadnezzar had no power. God had the power. Nor was a hair of their head singed. Even their hair was fine. Neither were their coats changed. They weren't discolored or burned. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like it. I sit next to a campfire for 10 minutes and then I smell like that for the next 6 days. They didn't even smell like fire. The fire had no power on them because God's power was there. Right? It was so hot it killed the 3 guys who brought them up and nothing about them was touched. That's God's power and deliverance. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. They trusted in God. They took a stand and believed that God would take care of them as they stood on his word. just as Daniel did. They trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Right? And that yielded their bodies means they were ready to give them up for God. They were ready to give it all up for God. Therefore, I make a decree, he likes his decrees, that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was his go-to move, shall be cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Right? And so once again, they took a stand and God delivered them. Right? And as we take a stand for God, he will do the same thing for us. He will take care of us. He will prosper us. He will help us in situations. Right? He'll put us in positions where we can do more and more good. Right? They were promoted repeatedly in these situations, right? These are all things that God will do for us as we take a stand for him, right? It's no different today. So we put God first, and he takes care of the rest.